sharing the good news. Let's say that together. Sharing the good news. Generally speaking, maybe you would agree with me, this has been one of my observations, that as human beings, we have a tendency to classify ourselves based on certain identifiers that group us together with others who are like us. How many of you here like being with people who are like you? Anybody here? I like being with people who are like me. How about you? For example, we might define ourselves or others based on ethnicity. You know, as Italians, I have an Italian ethnic background. And when I'm with Italians, it says, "Hey, paisan, hey, kumba, how you doing? Che si dice? Come stai?" Amen? And there's a connection there, right? And we might define ourselves or others based on ethnicity, or personal interests, or even political affiliations. There's a lot of that going around now. Or even countries of origin or lifestyles. But as born again, Holy Spirit-filled, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, in our consideration of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others, at times, catch this now, we may wonder if there's a particular way that the gospel is best shared with a person who identifies with a particular people group. Anybody ever go through that thought process in your mind and say, "Oh, wait a minute, here's a particular lifestyle, here's a particular people group. What would be the best way to try to reach them and to share the gospel with them?" Now, within certain people groups, there are commonalities of worldviews among people in a particular group. Maybe you've found that to be true, as I have. The people within certain groups have commonalities in their worldview that relate to the beliefs and customs that characterize the identity of that group. I mean, it just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? And so certain aspects of the gospel message, I believe, may resonate more deeply with one group over another, depending on what their particular worldview is. And certain groups may have a particular resistance to receiving the gospel message. Anybody ever experienced that before? With certain groups of people or certain people that are part of a certain group and they have a certain particular resistance to you sharing about Jesus or sharing about the Bible, and they just gnash their teeth. Anybody have somebody gnash their teeth at you? Or you feel like they're gnashing their teeth at you? Anybody here other than me? But catch this now. The gospel message is universal. Amen? The gospel message is universal. Let's say that together. The gospel message is universal. And the Word of God reminds us from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, along these lines, that every human being is made in God's image. And God's Word also reminds us from Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Apostle Paul speaking to believers then, and God by His Word and by His Spirit speaking to us today, that every human being is born in sin and separated from God. Interesting, isn't it? Every human being is created in the potential of God's image. Not just some human beings. It says every human being. And interestingly, every human being is born in sin and separated from God. Huh? But from Romans 6:23, it tells us that the price for our sin is eternal death. If we were to die for our own sins, then the price that we would pay is eternal death. Perpetual torment and the fires of hell. But yet every human being has the opportunity, catch that now, every single human being has the opportunity to repent of their sin and to accept the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of their lives. Amen? No one is exempt from taking that opportunity. Now that should encourage us and motivate us to try to reach every person that we possibly can. Because every person is hardwired to engage that opportunity. Amen?
Amen.
At least that's the conclusion that I've come to. Others have come to some different conclusions about that, but I believe that Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone, and everyone has a free will choice to take advantage of that opportunity that Jesus is providing as a free gift. Amen? God the Father has made a way for every human being to choose the only way of forgiveness and eternal life, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that should motivate us to know that every single person has the capacity to choose that opportunity. Be reminded and motivated afresh today. Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father in heaven except through Jesus as Savior and Lord. There's no religious system that's going to get people to heaven. And there's not a plurality of ways that gets people to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. Let's say that together. There's only one way to get to heaven. When we say that to people, maybe not as loudly as I just said it, guess what? The Holy Spirit backs that. Whatever you say that the Bible is saying, the Holy Spirit backs it. Amen? Be encouraged and exhorted and stirred up afresh. If you've been holding back from saying even some of the simplest truths to the people around you, there's only one way to heaven. The Holy Spirit will back that and bring it to the person's heart. Amen? John 14:6 is the reference note on that. Make a note of it. John 14:6. And there is no other name. There is no other name. Not Buddha, not Allah. There's no other name by which we are saved. And there is salvation in no one else but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Could we have the gumption to say that to someone in a gentle way? Buddha is not the way. Allah is not the way. Muhammad is not the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Amen?
Amen.
Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Make a note of it. That's what the reference is on that. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Make a note of it. That there is salvation in no one else but Jesus Christ. And this is true for every human being. Amen? Are you getting stirred up a little bit?
Amen.
To speak truth in love. To speak the Word of God to people. Simple truths. Amen? Sometimes I think we as believers make the gospel message more complicated than it was meant to be. It's simple. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the only way. Amen? Holy Spirit will back your words. Amen?
Amen.
God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is stirring us up afresh, reminding us and motivating us that one of our duties as born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, is to participate. Participate. How well are you participating in Jesus' great commission? To share the good news of Jesus with everyone as we go along the way of our lives. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20 speaks of that. And when you look into the original Greek language of that, it means as you go along the way of your life, as you're going along the way of your life, share the good news of Jesus with everyone as you go along the way of your life. Amen? You're going to be able to reach people that I would never be able to reach, because you're going to go along a way that maybe I wouldn't go that particular route. Amen? I'm going to reach people that you would never reach. Amen? Each of us has a circle of influence. And each of us has a path that God has for us that's going to include people coming into play in the marketplace. And some coming into play in our lives in more extensive ways than others. But either way, we have a duty. It's a commission. what Jesus did is not just for us, as good as that is. It's for us to translate that to the people around us. Amen? Amen. I feel pretty comfortable for what Jesus has done for me. How about you? Thank you, Jesus. We'll just hang around when Jesus comes back. Amen? There were people in the New Testament that were doing that. The Thessalonians were doing that. And the Apostle Paul had to exhort them because the Thessalonians were saying, "Whoa, Jesus is coming back so quickly, we'll just hang around. And we won't even work. We'll just kind of hang around and wait for Jesus to come." And the Apostle Paul had to exhort believers in the Thessalonian church and said, "No, you have a duty as born-again believers. You don't know exactly when He's coming back. Get to work. Do the work of the kingdom." Amen. In the meantime, and when Jesus returns, be found doing the work of the kingdom. Amen. Reaching people for His kingdom purposes. Amen. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, encourages and motivates us afresh along these lines from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. I'm going to be reading a composite of transliterations. How many of you here are glad for different transliterations of the Bible? Can anybody wave a hand like this with me and say, "Yes, I am grateful that we live in a day where we can look at multiple transliterations that are accepted and we can get more of the fullness of what certain scripture verses are saying." Amen. The Amplified transliteration is one that I like. It doesn't necessarily flow as well, but it gives you all the intricacies of what the original language is, in large part. And so I'm going to be reading a composite of transliterations that I've looked into from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. Peter, encouraging believers then, God by His Spirit, stirring us up afresh today to worship and revere the Lord Jesus Christ with your whole life. Worship and revere the Lord Jesus Christ with your whole life, with the wholeness of your life, acknowledging Him and giving Him first place. First place, let's say that together. First place as Lord over every area of your life. How many of you here have tried compartmentalization with the Lord? Anybody here ever try that when you first came to know the Lord and like, "You know what, I think I'll obey in these areas, but I'm not in this area. I'm good in this area." Anybody ever hear other me say that to the Lord? "I'm good over here." And the Lord say, "No, you're not good over there." How many of you recognize that God deals with our lives as a whole? Amen? As a whole. And He wants us to come to Him. And He's stirring us up to acknowledge Him and give Him first place as Lord over every area of your life. Is there an area in your life here today that you haven't yet given thoroughly over to the Lord? Well, today's the day to do it, because the Word of God and the Rhema of God is coming to you and saying, "Hey, you got to give that over to me too." Oh, Spirit of God, come. Search us and find that place in our lives that we haven't yet thoroughly surrendered to you, Lord God Almighty. Help us by your Spirit and faith to give you first place in that area of our lives. Oh, would you surrender it to Him now? Just say, "Yes, Lord. I've been meaning to surrender this, and I do it now. And ask your Spirit to help me with it." Always being ready. Catch this now. Key point. Always being ready to share the reason for the eternal hope that you have. Are you ready? Are you always ready to share the reason with people of the eternal hope that you have? Are you always poised for that, or are you distracted like I am a lot of times? Man, there's a lot of distractions out there, aren't there? Even when you're out and about and you're driving around, and who's flipping you off and who's cussing at you and who's saying all manner of stuff. Anybody here ever experienced some of this other than me when you're out in the marketplace? Or am I living in another world? Are we inclining ourselves to the Holy Spirit to say, "Holy Spirit, help me always to be ready. Help me always to be ready to share the reason for the eternal hope that I have with the person next to me standing in line for 3 hours at the post office." How do you here know that waiting in line at the post office can be very productive time in the Spirit? You know, it's a matter of perspective, right? There's a bunch of people right there in front of you. And you didn't even have to ask him to be there next to you. Amen. They're just there. And you can pray and you can intercede and you can incline yourself to the Spirit to say, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? Amen?
Amen.
But we have to poise ourselves to the Spirit of God to always be ready, always be ready, always be ready to share the reason for the eternal hope that you have. And catch this now, to do so in a gentle and a respectful way. There's a lot of disrespectfulness going on out there. A lot of disrespectfulness, a lot of rudeness, a lot of lawlessness that's going out and about. Have you noticed some of this? But Jesus said, well, that's how it's going to be in the end of the end times. Jesus said things are going to get worse than ever before Jesus returns. But the church is rising up. The tide is turning. Amen. The church is going to rise up. And we're going to be able to share the reason for the hope that we have in a multiplied fashion, a gentle and a respectful way. Keeping a clear conscience, Peter said to believers then, and God by His Spirit speaking to us today. Keeping a clear conscience in how you are sharing the good news. How many of you recognize that how you share something is more impactful than what you're actually sharing? Facial expressions, body language, tone of voice. They've done studies on this with dogs, believe it or not. You know, they'll say something to a dog, like, you're a nice dog. And the dog cowers. Or they say, you're such a nice doggy. And the dog starts wagging its tail.
Yeah.
Same words. Different tone of voice. It's true with animals. It's true with human beings. Amen. We need to be alert and attentive to that. Keeping a clear conscience in how we are sharing the good news. So that if people speak against you because of the good news that you've shared. How many of you have had that happen to you? People speaking against you because of the good news that you've shared. Well, if they do that, but you've done that in a gentle and a respectful way, their disparaging words against you will be put to shame by the good life that you're living because of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody can shout that down. They can try, but the good life that you're living in Christ speaks for itself. Amen? The Spirit of God is stirring afresh in our midst to take inventory of our lives in Christ. To take a fresh inventory of our lives in Christ. That as professed, born again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, our lives are to be a manifold reflection of the reality of the gospel message. We're to live our lives thoroughly submitted to Christ. How thoroughly submitted are you to Christ? By the standards of His Word in the Bible. Are you pressing into the Word each and every day? Most of your learning and discipleship comes from you pressing in. And certainly the church fellowship and pastoral care and the teaching gifts are there to come alongside you. But most of what you're going to be growing and developing in comes from you pressing in. Are you pressing into the Word every day? Are you pressing into the Holy Spirit every day? Do you have a notebook and a pen and writing stuff down as the Spirit of God gives you something and the Word of God imparts something to you? That's where most of your growth and development comes from. You pressing in. Amen? To live thoroughly submitted to Christ by the standard of His Word in the Bible and thoroughly yielded to the transforming and guiding work of the Holy Spirit in us. God, by His Word and by His Spirit in us, draws us to treat others with gentleness and respect. No matter what people group they may identify with. How many of you here find that challenging? No matter what group they identify with, Lord, I'm supposed to treat them with gentleness and respect? Oh yeah. Make no mistake about it. Sharing the good news is not so much about pointing out differences, but it's more about sharing a universal message to meet a universal need. Amen? Some people don't even know they have the need, but you know they have the need. Amen? And it's a universal message that when you speak it, Jesus is the only way. The Holy Spirit backs it. You need Jesus. Holy Spirit backs it. You need Jesus. Holy Spirit backs it. Amen? Yes. Ultimately, we share the good news. Catch this now. This is a heart check now. We share the good news with others as an act of compassion. Think about Jesus going to the cross. The consummate act of compassion towards all of humankind. And so ultimately, as born-again Christians, little Christs, sharing the good news is ultimately an act of compassion with a heartfelt concern for every person's eternal destiny. Think about a person's eternal destiny on one side or the other. Think about a person spending an eternity in the fires of hell compared to that person living in the eternal bliss of heaven. How concerned are we for the eternal destiny of the people who are in our lives? For those who cross the path of our lives? They're going to end up in one place or another. We might as well motivate ourselves to try to get them to the right side. Amen? Amen? The consideration for sharing the good news with someone can certainly become more of a challenge, I believe, and maybe you would agree with me, when it comes to approaching people who are engaged in a particularly obvious sin that they have accepted as a lifestyle or even adopted as part of their personal identity. Does anybody know anybody like this? People that are involved in a particularly obvious sin that they've accepted as a normal lifestyle, that they've adopted as a personal identity. And for example, as politically incorrect or as countercultural as it may be to say this, in consideration of witnessing to homosexuals or to heterosexual couples living together outside of marriage, which is becoming rampant, even in the church, sad to say, we may find ourselves more inclined to convict the sin and attempt to influence the person to modify their behavior even before sharing the good news about Jesus. We get a little ahead of ourselves, or maybe even get into a place where we shouldn't be. Now, certainly we need to recognize sin for what it is. But God wants to remind us afresh today, catch this now, that it's the Holy Spirit that's the one who convicts people of their sin. Amen? And you're a container of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You're not the convictor. The Holy Spirit is the convictor. All you're doing is sharing the message. Amen? It's not our job to be the convictor. We got to check our heart on it. It's easy to go there. God, by His Word, reminds us from John chapter 16, verse 8, that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming final judgment. And so we typically don't need to catalog a person's sins or even single one out in order to share the fact that Jesus Christ died for all of us who are all sinners. Amen? For we all have sinned and fallen short of the intended glory of God for our lives. Amen? All of us, every human being, has sinned and fallen short of the intended glory of God for our lives. Remember when we said we were made in God's image? That was the intention. But everyone has fallen short of that. And people know that in their knower. And all we need to do is speak to their knower with the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will back it. Amen? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior. Amen? Amen. Now, trying to get a person to clean up their act or to stop a specific sin in and of itself will not award them eternal life. Homosexuals and fornicators are not saved by stopping their sexual sin, but only by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. Amen? By God's grace through repentant faith. then the habitual sinfulness becomes progressive holiness. Amen? But only after being transformed and made new in Christ. Amen? So you see how Christ should be the leading edge of what we're talking about? Amen? Otherwise, we can find ourselves many times in a frustrating place, spinning our wheels with people. Habitual sinfulness becomes progressive holiness by grace through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, no matter what the sinfulness is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17 reminds us along these lines that the love of Christ now controls us. And since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe, let's say that together, we also believe that we who are in Christ have all died to our old way of life. Have you died to your old way of life? Because Jesus died for everyone, so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Who are you living for? In one area of your life or another. For yourself or for Jesus? Instead, we live for Christ, who died and was raised from the dead for us. And so in Christ, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we even thought of Christ merely from a human or religious point of view. But how differently we know Him now personally. Amen?
Amen.
And so this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old way of life is gone, and the new way of life has begun. Amen? I'm not who I was, and I'm not yet who I'm going to be. Amen? Sharing the good news points people to Jesus Christ. Sharing what He's done for you and what He has done for them too. Amen? The consideration for sharing the good news with someone can certainly become more of a challenge when we're interacting with someone of a different religion. Anybody here ever interact with someone of a different religion? They're trying to convince you otherwise, and you're trying to convince them otherwise, and you're going back and forth and back and forth. I had a good friend when I was in chiropractic college in my former life who was a Mormon. Great guy. My friend Ed. And I was a Catholic at the time. I was a devout Catholic. I was a practicing, participating Catholic. And he was trying to convert me to Mormonism. And we used to go to lunch. He would take me to lunch. I wasn't trying to convert him to Catholicism. He's trying to convert me to Mormonism. And we had several lunches where we were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I said, "Well, you know what, Ed? I said, it sounds like you've got one set of rules and I got another. I'm just going to stick with mine." And then he stopped talking to me about it. But there is a consideration when we're interacting with someone of a different religion. We might find ourselves gravitating towards a strategy of defensive justification for biblical doctrines. Let's put the boxing gloves on. Pointing out everything that's biblically incorrect about their religion. But that approach to witnessing to someone, as I've experienced, is usually counterproductive. And it ends up being argumentative and even combative. And while making distinctions between biblical doctrine and other religious beliefs can at times be useful in witnessing to someone, pointing out how they differ from what the Bible says, ultimately, the best way to illuminate the dimness of their thinking is simply to turn on the light of the good news by pointing them to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The simple words that the Holy Spirit will back, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the only way. When you say what the Bible says and the simplicity of what it says about salvation, the Holy Spirit backs it. Amen?
Amen.
Once people see who Jesus really is and understand what He's done for them, then they will be able to recognize what's wrong about their religion. Amen? Be reminded afresh today that Jesus was full of grace and truth. and sharing the good news, and so too should we be as His devoted followers. Grace and truth with love. Grace and truth with love. Let's decree that together. Grace and truth with love. Again, grace and truth with love. The Spirit of God is stirring us to take good care. Take good care, saints of God, that we should not share the gospel from an attitude of spiritual pride or from a posture of superiority or from a position of combativeness, of condescension. Certainly we should confront sin when needed. And yes, at times we may find it necessary to counter beliefs that are incompatible with the Bible. But in our sharing of biblical truth with others, catch this now, we are to be careful of the manner in which we share it. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, reminds us afresh along these lines from 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 to 26. The Apostle Paul encouraging his protege Timothy at that time, a young church leader, and God by His Spirit encouraging us afresh today, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments. Seems to be a lot of that going on. A lot of foolish, ignorant arguments that don't get anywhere. And have nothing to do with useless speculations and disputes over unedifying controversies that only produce strife, giving birth to quarrels. But rather, a servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord here today? A servant of the Lord must not participate in quarrels. Instead, being kind to everyone, even-tempered, preserving peace, tolerant when wronged, gently teaching and correcting those who are in opposition to the truth in Christ. But catch this now, with a heartfelt hope that they will come to their senses and repent. Do you have a heartfelt hope towards the destiny of people's souls so that they would escape from the trap of the devil's lies which have held them captive to believe and do what he wants them to do unto the destruction of their soul? If we mistreat or disparage people whose beliefs are different from ours, then we will effectively limit our opportunities to share the good news with them. Think about it. Why would anyone ever want to repent and believe in Jesus Christ if we who are followers of Jesus act in a rude way or a dismissive way or a condescending way? I wouldn't be interested in it, would you? We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. No matter to whom we are speaking, we're always ambassadors for Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. And we are encouraged to find common ground with everyone without partaking of their sinful ways. Catch that. Find common ground with as many people as you can without participating in their sinful ways in order that we may share the good news and win some of them to Christ. Amen? You may sow and not reap, but you're going to reap where you didn't sow. Amen? Be motivated afresh today if we purpose to be loving and kind towards others. And catch this now, expressing a genuine concern for the eternal destiny of every person that we encounter, then we will be true reflections of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a genuine concern for the eternal destiny of every person that he encountered. Do we have that same genuine concern for the eternal destiny of every person that we encounter? Maybe we do. Maybe we need more of that concern to motivate us to reach him. Amen? Make no mistake about it. Salvation is open to anyone. Salvation is open to anyone who will repent of their sinfulness and turning their lives to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives, because God the Father did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Amen?
Amen.
In consideration of sharing the good news with others, we should have a genuine compassion and concern for that person, regardless of the group or lifestyle he or she identifies with. A little bit challenging. Think about who Jesus went after. Some of the worst people. And He was criticized for that. But He had a heartfelt concern for those lost souls. And He struck common ground with some of the worst sinners without partaking of their sin. Amen? And we're little Christs. And God's stirring us to do the same. To get out of our comfort zone. And do the same. Amen? If we truly care about what's going on in a person's life, we will be authentically concerned for the eternal consequences of their misguided understanding, motivating us in the context of our relationship with them to share the universal need for a Savior, while at the same time referencing biblical truths, paraphrasing biblical truths and explaining how all of humanity has fallen, lost, and in need of Jesus Christ. Amen? And sharing the good news with others, it's important to remember and keep it top of mind that it's the gospel that's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Amen? It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. Amen?
Amen.
That's the only good news that truly changes lives now in this life and for all of eternity. Do you believe that here today?
Yeah.
Anybody else believe that here today?
Amen.
Amen. You're thinking about it. And that was the purpose of the message. To stir you up. Get you thinking about it. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads now. Take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now as the word of the Lord has come to you today. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name.